Sound Words Tape Ministry, Queensland. It's now Saturday, the 22nd of August, 1998. We're at the Wynnum Gospel Chapel for the Marriage Celebrants Seminar, and this is the first tape of the day. The introduction is by Mr. David Forward, followed by Mark Robbins on the subject of Christian Brethren Rights, and then into a workshop. This will take it up to morning tea.
Thanks, John. Now, this is a unique occasion. There is no doubt about that. It's the first one we've ever had. And I hope it's the start of perhaps, even if it's only an annual event, whereby we get together and pool our resources and pool our ideas. It's good for the newer celebrants to come and to sort of get maybe another idea as to the way they can perform a ceremony. We're not going in, unless it's raised particularly later, the depth of a ceremony or what we've got to put into it. What I've tried to do, and those of you who... Did you get an agenda? Somebody get some in the mail yesterday? Then they're the sorts of things that were advised to me as being required to be talked about today. But that doesn't limit our conversation today. We'll go through those, and if there's time available, we'll get into it at the end of the day. Now, I want to take a Bible reading, and I'm not putting myself up in any way as the Pope or whatever of this marriage business. It's come on in, Jack. Good to see you. Put your name tag on, Jack, if you don't mind. Jack Waddell. When he sits down, you'll see who he is. I'm not putting myself up as the Pope or anything like that. It just happens that I'm what they call the nominating authority of the Christian Brethren. And that's a sort of a mantle that gets passed down from time to time. And it was passed to me from Ted Adams, who had it passed to him from Frank Adams. At some stage or other, the Brethren went to the government and got nominated or got their denominational title Christian Brethren recognised by the government, and as such then went and organised for marriage licences to be issued under Christian Brethren. Now, and you know that you marry under the rights of Christian Brethren, and today we're going to work out what those rights are, we hope, so that you know what you're talking about. And when the only position I hold is that I'm the bloke that it all comes through, as far as the government's concerned. If they've got any advice, it comes back to me, and then we've got to put it out to the celebrants. Now, not a lot happens. Every so often, I write to you with a bit of information. Not a lot happens over the years. I suppose I've only written 6 or 7 times. That I've been doing it, and I've been doing it for about 10 years now. And I don't know that there'll be any great changes in the future, but I think we need to be pretty sure of our base, of where we stand in these things. And I just want to just open up with the scriptures, and let's Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 24. Look, these are so well known, you can repeat them in your sleep, but I don't know that... I really do think we ought to be reminded of them today. Chapter 2, verse 18 to 24. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made the woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to him. And the man said, "Now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, as a little aside here, I'm so thankful that Adam didn't look at something that was brought for him before him to be named and say, that'll be my helpmate. I'm quite happy with the product that came as a result of Adam not finding a helpmate in all those things, people on beasts and things that were brought to him at that time. The other reading is in Matthew chapter 19. There's plenty of things in the Bible about marriage, but we're not going to go through them all today. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 to 6. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And so they are no longer two, but one. And therefore therefore what God hath joined together, let no man separate. Now, we understand, or I believe we understand, that marriage is for life. It's an exclusive relationship. And a sexual relationship outside of marriage is not condoned but is condemned. Marriage is a public commitment. Marriage is there's private consummation of it. And the couple becomes exclusive of their parents. Marriage is more than a social custom, more than sexual relations. It is the unselfish giving of each partner to the other for the exclusion of others. It is a unique, God-inspired institution. Divorce is not part of God's plan. In marriage, there is equality. Sure, there is physical, emotional, and psychological differences, but the male and female complement each other. The man is the ultimate authority in the home. But he has to remember that his love for his wife is as Christ loved the church. Now, I'm not going to go into explanations of these things. You know what these things mean. Submission is to one another. Now, Christians should not marry non-Christians, but they do. Divorce should not happen, but it does. Adultery should not happen, but it does. Now, it's in this type of world that you and I have our responsibility to God and to the government to do the best we can to ensure that the family is protected, that children are brought into homes where they are brought up in a nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we start from a fairly hectic, rotten base to work in the community that we live. But we have a solid base of knowledge from the Word of God as to how it should be. And our responsibility sort of starts from that. Today, we want to start a process where we can get better at what we're doing. Now, we will discuss the items on your agenda and any other things that might come to mind. Later in the day, Jim and Grace Vine will give us some useful information in pre- and post-marriage counselling, resources that are available. And I think that's a very important thing for you to understand, the resources that are available to us. You may have ideas also on this, and so there is an open discussion session in relation to pre- and post-counselling as well. Now, I want to clarify my position. I did state it before, I'll state it again. I am the nominating authority of the Christian Brethren. I have put myself under the authority of the Christian Brethren Coordinating Committee of Queensland, as I believe I have to be answerable to my brethren. Now, I didn't see that I was answerable in this regard to just the local Wynnum Brethren elders. I felt it was something more than that. I'm sort of representing the whole of the churches, and the best little group that I could find that I would be answerable to would be this Christian Brethren Coordinating Committee of Queensland. Now, I do not these days accept a request for a licence unless it comes via the elders of assembly. I firmly believe that each of us needs to re-establish our authority with our overseers and ensure that they are involved in our ministry. It's got to start at that level. It's not something I can't be responsible for you because you're so far away from me anyhow. And in recent times, I've discovered that there are people who no longer are members of assemblies who still retain a licence and have their licence, or it's never been revoked, simply because nobody's told me. So, you know, I've got to put this responsibility back on the local elders. I believe that if you change, or I, change our assemblies, we should obtain an endorsement of our licence from the assembly to which we've gone. We should advise the elders of that assembly that we have this licence, and do they wish me to continue holding the licence? And if so, I put myself under their authority. Elders then have a responsibility to inform me of any departure. The licence only allows you to marry while you hold with the Christian Brethren rites and actually attend a local church and accept those particular criteria. Now, we're going to discuss that in a few moments. Mark Robbins has done some work on it. He's going to open the discussion up on it and see how we go from there. Now, I will be writing an article for The Alert in relation to today's seminar and also in relation to marriage and of the celebrants. I wonder whether I should give them a list of the marriage celebrants and say these are they. There's a few holes in it, as you will notice, of addresses and assemblies. I'm not sure just who they belong to, and I need to fill those in before I hand that over. But it wouldn't be, I don't think it's divulging confidences in handing that out, but you can discuss that as the day goes on. But the idea is that, I'll then write to all the overseers of the assemblies in Queensland and let them know of the situation that they must accept responsibility for their celebrants, and that under the circumstances of a celebrant leaving the assemblies or going into some other or doing something that's not conducive to retaining his licence, then they need to take responsibility in that regard. So that's the situation. Now, does anybody like to throw in a point or two at this stage? Because I've discussed it briefly with my brethren at the coordinating committee, but you are the celebrants. Is that too tough, or is that anybody got something to say? Put your hand up so I can stick this under your nose. So basically you think that's reasonable. Okay, that's fine. Well, we'll move right along, and because we've got a fair bit to do today, and I'm sure if we can get away from here by 4:30, you'll be happy. But I'm sure there's a lot of things yet to discuss. And so I now ask Mark if he would like to come and give us his overview or points. Now, have you got overheads, Mark, or not? Or you want to use the board? Yeah, good, eh? Well, we can do that. Here, hang on. We're going to put you on here. Has everybody got a pen and pencil and that sort of stuff? Because, you got a belt? Yeah, you got a belt.
I've got a stomach to keep it up. Right, Christian Brethren rights. I haven't done too many marriages, but I always stumble at that giving the Christian Brethren rights when I have to write it on that page there. And for the life of me, when it comes to there, every person that I've married says, "What are they?" And I say, "Well, they're the Christian Brethren rights." And I say, "It's R-I-G-H-T-S. And we've got the rights, okay, to those rights." But thinking about it, it's got me a bit bamboozled. What are the Christian Brethren rights? I suppose it's something that I think we have to think about, especially to young marrieds who mightn't be too familiar with the Christian brethren. So that leads into what are the Christian brethren? That's one question. And then you have to ask yourself, well, what does that pertain to marriage? And I suppose one of the obvious things is what Dave mentioned before is, I suppose it's giving an account a bit of what we stand for, what the actual celebrant stands for, and why come to us. Probably because they attend the church or something like that, but if it's someone else, why come to us? And I suppose we have to tell the reasons. Some of the reasons I thought of, well, I attend the Christian Brethren Church, and we all do, and that's the reason we give the Christian Brethren rights. So it's attendance for one, and then that probably leads into that other question up there, who are the Christian Brethren? That might, we've only got one day to discuss this. The other thing it comes out to regarding the celebrant is the authority. We have the authority, one, the government, the local church, which I probably should emphasise, as David did, through the eldership, and I suppose the most important, God's authority. And I don't know about you, and I was discussing it with my father, actually, there's a big Robbins clan here with the marriage celebrants. I wonder if we could pass a motion if we could bring lady celebrants in. We could have a lot more, Dave. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, right. So we've got government, local church, and God's authority. Some of the other things that you might like to think about, and this is supposed to be a workshop, so... Some people might have chisels, so I think I've got a sledgehammer, but the counselling. I don't know about you, when somebody comes to me, I say, if you're going to get married by me, there's counselling. Now, I don't know if you want to put that into some sort of writing, a minimum sort of counselling requirement. And I suppose the other important factor is, why a Christian celebrant rather than a non-Christian celebrant? And of course that would probably hones in on the Christian brethren, why Christian brethren as well. But why does that particular person come to us rather than a non-Christian celebrant? And the reason is, I hope, because of our values, because of our standard, and normally they want to do it on... set their life on the right footing. So there might be an opportunity there for Christianity explained briefly in the counselling session. They're just some of the ideas that I've got. Maybe we need a code of ethics. When the couple come to us and they say, well, why should I get married by you? Well, we say, well, these are the two forms you get from the government. I'd like to give you a third form. This is what we stand for, and a code of ethics. Of course, in that code of ethics would be confidentiality would be one. We would give the Christian point of view, which is, as has been mentioned, that marriage is for life. Marriage is God approved. They're just some of the things. Now, it's supposed to be a bit of a workshop, so I've thrown in my two bob's worth. Now, has anybody got any other ideas regarding Christian brethren rights? I think we sort of almost need a brochure to give to someone when they come to us on the first session to say, this is what we stand for. This is what you get if you get married by me. So,
we might break up in yep. the group at the moment. I've had to think about this. Look, all the time I've been married now for about 23 years. And all that time, nobody's ever asked me.
It was never a question for me, but having been raised, Mark raised it down to camp, and then a couple of the memos that came in from the guy said, you know, what are these Christian Brethren rights? I thought to myself, well, what are they? And who is this business of who is the Christian Brethren is a problem, in a sense. But, I mean, I think all we need to do is make a fundamental Christian statement that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, like a very brief statement of faith. This is what the Christian Brethren believe. I don't need that we need to go into baptism by immersion and remember the Lord around the Lord's table and that sort of stuff, but I do think that we need to make a fundamental Christian statement up front. That's just my opinion. And then we go into these things, the authorities and so on. And I do believe, Mark's raised a great point here, that every one of us has a responsibility of at least a minimum standard of pre-marriage counselling. We have a responsibility in that. And that's probably come up later this afternoon in terms of the pre- and post-marriage counselling. So I wouldn't spend a lot of time on that. But what I'd like you to do is if we can break into groups of, say, five people, and just sit around and for the next 20 minutes discuss the items, and then come back at about 10 o'clock and we'll have a presentation from each group. I'll give you a piece of paper to go with it so that you can write it up, so that we've got something to retain afterwards. And yes, Don.
Pardon me for this particular point, but are we stressing Christian rights or brethren rights?
Well, the term is Christian Brethren rights, right? And the difficulty is that we've got absolutely nothing under that. But I think we need to nominate. This is just my personal opinion. What we understand marriage to be, having nominated first of all, these are the Christian beliefs we have, and then what we believe marriage to be. That's just the way. We're not putting in a definitive statement. I've been on to the other blokes in the other states, and they don't have anything like this. So, you know, we're not...
So, are we running into a problem where we're talking about Christian Brethren rights as opposed to Baptist rights, as opposed to Church of Christ rights?
No. No, well, look, the thing is that we've got absolutely nothing down on paper. We're not going to define Christian Brethren rights. I think what Mark's saying is that we need maybe a code of ethics, or this is the standards we, and when we're going to marry somebody, these are the standards under which we marry people.
One other thing, the greatest lesson I ever got was in Kerala. I married a particular couple, and the moment was over, I went to see one of the godliest men I've ever met in all my life. And I just got to his home and he put the coffee on and then he turned to me and said, "Well, Don, did you marry them or God?" And I tell you what, I've never been so thankful for that statement. Did you marry them or God? Now, Mark just said, if you come to us, this is what you get.
Oh,
I believe
we've
got to go deeper
than this. Well, yeah, I don't think. Now, let's not play with words.
I don't want to see us box ourselves into a corner when we're a particular group. We've got something that someone else hasn't got.
No, we've got nothing.
You can say that.
Yeah. We've got nothing at the moment.
Well, what I'm saying is that I think we need a code of ethics. Yeah. So when they come to us and say, look, this is what confidentiality, I mean, there's quite a few, normally you hear all their problems for the last 20 years come up at the counselling session. Well, I've had a few like that, and I've had a few that haven't got married because we've had the counselling session. Now, they probably don't at the time, but I think they think it's good now. But I think we need, so they can come to us with confidence, and if they feel like revealing their problems or their past marital relationships or non-marital relationships, they feel at ease for telling us, because we can give them a piece of paper and say, this is our standard, and we've taken this standard from the Bible. For one, you know, confidentiality is number one, I think, but also we believe that marriage is for life. I mean, that's not to say Baptists don't or anybody else doesn't either, or whatever. It's just something that we can give them when they come to us. It probably doesn't concern 90% of the people that we talk to, because most of them come from the Brethren churches. But that's not always the case. And even if they do come from the Brethren churches, quite often they don't even know what the Brethren believe or where their salvation is either. And that comes out in the counselling as well, that they're not absolutely sure where they stand before God either sometimes. And it is a good time to, you know, have a word with them regarding where their future is as well. And it's more of a very general, loose term, just to say, look, the thing that we've done just there for the last 6 weeks in that counselling, and what I'm going to do on Sunday, and those vows that you're going to take, they are the Christian Brethren rites, but they've come from the Bible. And they're no different to any other denomination or whatever. We're not going to, at the end of the ceremony, do a few crosses or get them to bow three times or ask to kiss the ground or wear garb at all or anything like that. It's just something that they can take away and feel confident that they've had come to the Christian Brethren, knowing that, well, I've been married by a Christian celebrant. And that's all. Just something very loose, and that they feel comfortable with, and we feel comfortable that we can give them some sort of standard. Not that we
are. Another thing too, just putting it here, we're living in an age where the government sometimes pops up and says, did you do this? And every one of us, as we fill in the marriage certificate, we sign an effect that we have married them according to the Christian Brethren rites. Well, that opens the way for a government official sometime to pop up and say, what did you do?
Yeah.
Where's that contained in the rites? And I think that's the point that worries some of our celebrants.
A new issue celebrant. That's the first thing that struck me. When I get that form and I sign it, and I did the Christian Brethren rites, and then for the life of me, I thought, well, what did I sign? What have I done? And I haven't done anything different to most other celebrants, Christian celebrants, but, you know, it is a thing if we asked, and a few have asked me, well, what have you done that's different? And quite often I say, nothing. I've done nothing that's different. The only thing different to another celebrant is I've brought out that the relationship is God in it, and the other celebrants haven't got that, of course. And that's the only difference I can truthfully say, is the Christian Brethren, it's Christian rites.
Yeah, it's Christian rites. I don't know that we're not trying to be different. We're not trying to be another little group over here. What we're doing is before God. And I would think that before God, all of us who are celebrants are marrying these people before God. We don't see ourselves as this is the thing that I say then, it is not the authority vested in me by the government of Australia that makes this marriage real. It's the blessing of God. You before God have made these covenants to each other. It is your responsibility before God for these covenants that you've made to be true in your life, not what the factor that I just happen to be a representative of the Australian government.
I know how at the end of the ceremony of the vows, I know what I say, and I've actually copied it off my father, is I've married you on behalf of the Queensland government or the government, but by the much greater authority invested in me by God, you're accountable now in your marriage, and that's the authority that you've been married, and that's how I end the sort of ceremony after the vows, by the greater authority invested in me through God.
We had Fred Thompson and John Cairns, and we had these three or four people, and we could repeat this. They had that document, and I think Ted Adams or Frank Adams gave it to me years ago, And that was a standard thing that was accepted by the government. And it was there...
For the ceremony.
Yes. Yeah. And it had the rings and everything. And the specific clauses were there. And I suppose we're coming from that angle that that was what stood for us.
Yeah.
For years and years and years. Yeah, that definitely wasn't biblical.
Well, I don't know that anybody's strayed away from the biblical thing.
No.
It's just that these days, and in those days, Don, I'll guarantee that Fred and John and the other fellows never married outside the assemblies. Today, in the community that we work in, we are finding, and I don't know about you, but I would say that 50% of the weddings that I perform are contacts that come through the church or through work, because they don't know anybody else. And so we have a very changed atmosphere in which to work.
Well, could I say it's more likely that they have had some personal contact with you and they feel more comfortable with you as a person.
That's true.
And to them it means something when some friend of theirs... but that seems to be a side issue that's not quite so important. It's the fact that they know you and they're comfortable with you and it means more to them.
Mm.
The fact that this friend of theirs has seen it and is able to do that, perform that service for them. And in fact, I've got one coming up that's just like that.
Yeah.
Well, I've got my pet marriage is one that's about 14 years ago of a girl in the office. She now lives in Darwin. We get Christmas cards, Easter cards, trip cards, simply because I took the time at the time. And believe it or not, her kids are now going to a Christian school and Garth and Melinda Grant have got on their hammer, you know. And so you've got 14 years down the track. You've got this sort of, you do the thing and then something, it comes back to you. Now, there's a lot of others I haven't seen hiding the hair off since, but still, you do the thing under the authority of the Word of God and none of them, and, you know, they say, what sort of ceremony? I said, it is a Christian ceremony. There will be prayers, there will be Bible readings, and I will give you a little talk from the Word of God. And, you know, and the parents come up to you after and say, oh, gee, thanks for that. You know, it was a really, thank you very much. But you see, we don't have a basis. I mean, if somebody came to me, I would explain all the things that I'm going to do, but we really don't have a sort of Christian rites. We're not, or I think we might call it the put down an ethic, for the sake of a better word, of how to perform the marriage.
It's just a simple clarification of what's already going on.
Absolutely.
It's just writing it down. Just in a short statement.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to break up.
Just before you go, would it be helpful to just to read the Act in relation to this issue?
Yes, sure.
Where a marriage is solemnised by an authorised celebrant being a minister for religion, so that's us, it may be solemnised according to any form and ceremony recognised as sufficient for the purpose by the religious body or organisation of which he or she is a minister. So the government expects that there is a form and a ceremony recognised as sufficient by us.
Yeah.
And we haven't got to that really, have we?
No, I think everybody does his own thing, but we're probably doing all the same thing, only in a different, you know, maybe.
Now, I also thinking that that has also been registered with the government.
It has.
So we really need to find out what has been registered with the government.
Yes, but probably what Don's got, if he's still got it, is what was registered with the government, the form of the service.
Yeah. But from what I was told when I first became a celebrant, there was something like three different forms that had been registered.
Mm.
It's like three variations on a theme, if you like. And I'd like to find out what they were.
Yeah.
Or are.
I would see.
Yeah. You have a bit of a problem with it. It's kept by a lot of our brethren, and you won't find it because, you see, with the change of the Marriage Act from state to federal, all the literature, all the paperwork, everything that says we're a Christian brethren went to Canberra and are in our archives, and you cannot get it unless you're going to send somebody down there to search the archives.
because I started that sort of a thing until I got to the point where I was told, well, if you come to Canberra and you get the right piece of paper, you can search the archives for it. I said, no thanks, it's not that important. But that's the problem. Unless somebody in our groups have a copy of that, it's basically in archives in Canberra, and you'll never get it out there unless you are willing to send somebody that's going to spend the time to personally search the archives.
Right, well, we're probably opening a big can of worms here, but what I might suggest is that we sit down there and perhaps, as far as the rights are concerned, maybe one group think about the form of the service, because that's the thing that would be registered with the government. And the form of the service would be virtually a declaration as to what marriage is, a series of vows by both people, and witnesses signing the necessary governmental forms. I doubt whether the form would have in it a homily, that there's a message, but it wouldn't say that there's got to be hymns or prayers or anything like that, but it would certainly set down a statement of what marriage is, I think. Maybe that's enough. The other thing that we need to do, I think, in light of what Fred says, if we can put together what we consider to be the Christian Brethren rights, at least we've got a piece of paper that we can hand back to the government and say, well, as far as we are able to ascertain, this is what it is. If you can tell us what's in the government things in Canberra and send somebody in there to find the piece of paper and contradict us, well, good on you. But in the meantime, this is what we've got. Now, on marriage, like the service itself, come and make your presentation. Who's going to do it? You're it, Doug, eh?
I've been docked in again.
Just towards that. That's a fairly sensitive
one. Okay. What we did was we selected what we thought were the common blocks that we should put in. The first one we should state what marriage is. So, definition of marriage. These, by the way, are not necessarily in any strict order. We felt that there should be vows. What is actually contained in those vows, we will bow to others' opinions. We're suggesting here that maybe with this modern situation that there may not be rings given in exchange. So we felt that, yes, it should be optional. If the people wanted rings, fine. If they don't want rings, that also should be fine. Of course, there've got to be the legal forms that need to be filled out at the appropriate time. We also felt that there should be an appropriate homily. If you're doing a Christian marriage, then it's going to be different if you're going to be dealing with a non-Christian marriage. From the group was that the homily should really be addressed to the couple being married, not necessarily to the wider audience. But that may be something that you might want to change, depending on who it is and your discussion with them. Obviously, there's got to be prayer in there somewhere. And also a statement of marriage authority, the reaffirmation that we are marrying, not necessarily according to the rights of Christian Brethren, but by the authority of the Lord, by the authority of the government, by the authority of our particular denomination.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, group. Anybody want to add anything to that? Yes, Don.
Yeah, the participation of the congregation as the witnesses and taking upon themselves to pray for this marriage that they're one with.
Yeah, all right. I would just make the comment, David, that I know that we would like for the married couple to be the recipients of our message to them, but I wonder really how much they will retain
and I think it's a golden opportunity to speak to the congregation on the value of marriage.
I take the opportunity in those circumstances to say, I'm going to talk to the young couple now, but all of you people out there are either going to be married, are married, or want to be married, you know, and I want you to take this as a time of reaffirmation of your own vows and your own ideals, and maybe think seriously about marriage. But while I'm talking to this young couple, it's for you as well.
Those items there appear essential, yes. Do you think it might be advantageous if once again we had a Christian Brethren copy of the basic ideal marriage ceremony wording?
I'm sure it would be. I'm sure it would be. And I don't know where we're going to get it from. Like, yeah. What a jolly name, Fred. As Fred said, it's in the archives. And you see, being autonomous as we are, nobody passes anything on.
You're closest to it, you should have you.
Yeah, he took it to the grave with him, mate. I will delve through the stuff that I've got, but I didn't get anything from Ted. Other than the list of names, I didn't get anything from Frank, and I didn't when I took over marrying back there, and however long ago it was, I did go to my father-in-law and sort of snitch a bit out of his service.
Actually, David, surely that's not as important as even now, if you wanted to do a model service or redefine what the Christian Brethren rights are and re-register that. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to
stay ad infinitum.
Surely we can sort of put a submission in saying we are now holding them to this year.
Yeah. I don't think they care as long as they've got something. And really, the sort of vows that I go through, which are just fundamentals, you know, they haven't changed much. If you really want to get down to it, you go to the old Anglican prayer book and the Anglican service, and you will find that the majority of our services, and particularly marriage, is based on that. We did have love, honour and obey in the service when, and I have only ever insisted that obey go in when a young lady told me there is no way I'm going to obey my husband. And I said, well, you make up your mind. Because I said, if you're not going to, the pair of you, submit to one another, then you shouldn't get married. And they went away and thought about it seriously and come back and asked me to put the word obey in. I doubt whether she ever has. She was a testy little girl, there's no doubt about it.
There's a couple of other things that I've indicated on here. I've got participation of congregation, the model service, and there are a number of things that I would suggest that we could put under options, one of which may satisfy David's situation and one that I've encouraged my couples to do, and that is to have the service recorded, tape recorded, whether it be video or audio. It's amazing. I mean, we had our wedding service recorded. Mum sat on had a recorder sat on her lap and recorded it. And when I've gone back and I've listened to it, it's meant more to me then than it did at the actual time. Although, hey, the overriding thing was, hey, I'm married. Yeah, she said yes. Right? So these recording, are the sorts of things.
Right, recording of service. Yeah.
Now, anybody else got anything you want to say? Because we've got to move on.
Yeah, I think we can do as Roland says: sit down and do a basic service, and promulgate that around only as a help to the guys. I don't think we're going to say anybody got to stay within this particular thing, but it is a help to the guys. I know that quite a number of the new chaps, when they get their licences, they say to me, what sort of service? I say, well, go see your local brothers and have a talk with them and the other in the district. If you haven't got one of those, then I'll photograph mine and the basic service that I run. Yeah, okay.
Tended to move towards each one saying to the other, I will be open and honest with you in everything and will support you in everything.
Yeah.
Something like that, I forget the exact word.
Yeah, I think there's no problem in modernising the language as long as the fundamentals are in the vows, and that's the important thing, that we get down to what we really do believe marriage to be. Okay, thanks, Doug. We'll go to the next one. Who's the speaker from that group?
Oh, well, I don't know whether I can read John's writings. I've got a good alibi. I need to hold it.
Okay. Our thinking about this Christian Brethren rights is down at the end, we're suggesting that there be a statement at the end of what our rights are, and just say a clear, simple statement of what Christian brethren believe. And the rest of this could be Christian rights. Now, it just so happens that we are from this group, but I think my understanding of the brethren movement is accurate enough to say that that is what we would all feel comfortable with. A statement at the end about our own denomination, which has now become, that probably would be sufficient. So then, coming back to what is a Christian marriage, that's really what we have to. We have to combine the rite, which is generally some act that is symbolic of a belief. So behind all of this, you can put Ephesians 5:21-33, or you can put other passages of Scripture. But we've listed here what we believe Christian marriage is. So by virtue of standing in front of witnesses, they are acting out a statement that says, I believe Christian marriage is two believers marrying or two believers uniting. Now, there's the variations with non-Christians. We have to talk about that later. The marriage needs to be monogamous. The marriage needs to be between a man and a woman. Now, the government is starting to raise its eyebrows if we mention too loudly these things, but already in America, it has now gone through in at least one state, homosexual marriages are now legal. More than likely, within 5 years, we'll have a similar thing in Australia. And we need to stand clearly, and I don't think we need to be fearful of being put in prison for that, because at this point in time, at least, Christian belief is still respected in theory by the government. So you can probably list other things there. Christian marriage is. We struggled a bit about here the possibility of putting a statement of faith on about new birth into here also, and maybe it needs to go in there, but also would be more wisely put into the pre-marriage counselling. What else did I leave out, John?
Yeah. I think that's about it.
Permanency.
Permanency. Yes.
We mentioned that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Yes.
I've just got this thing out of the paper, Thursday's paper, and everybody might be interested. It was just regarding Di. Two Sunday school preachers told children that Diana, Prince of Wales, had gone to hell after an immoral and unchristian life. They declared that she had not repented for her sins and criticised her relationship with Dodi Al-Fayed. Chris Mansfield and Jeffrey Jones of the Bethany Christian Fellowship, that wouldn't be brethren, would it? Made the remarks recently in central England. One of the children who went home confused and upset was Daryl Prince, who keeps a picture of Diana under his bed. His mother, Sarah, 39, called the remarks evil. I was absolutely horrified because I used to tell Daryl that Diana was a star in heaven. I had to reassure him this was true, she said. Daryl and his brothers have left the Sunday school. However, the two preachers defended their remarks, saying Diana's lifestyle was immoral and anti-biblical. And I was just thinking about some of those things. I don't think it hurts to
put the stand
in what the Bible says.
I don't think it does either. And basically, I can't see anything wrong with that. However, we would run into big difficulties getting agreement on what the Christian brethren are. I mean, we have enough difficulty here at Wynnum getting a statement. Well, we've had about four statements of faith in the last 15 years, and they all vary from time to time. And it doesn't matter who you talk to. They've got a different sort of basis. Now, I don't see that there's anything wrong with just saying, we as Christian brethren believe this to be fundamental in Christian marriage. I don't know. That might be sufficient.
Yeah. Dave, I think there's two things about marriage celebrants, Christian marriage celebrants. One is for us, and that is that if someone comes to us and wants to be married, we have the right to refuse.
Absolutely.
It's only the civil celebrant who must.
Mm.
The other one I was going to bring up later sometime, is why does the government recognise a marriage certificate signed by a civil celebrant but not by a Christian celebrant?
You mean that piece we hand for the...
When you go to, say, prove your identity somewhere,
yeah,
they will accept a civil celebrant's marriage certificate. They will not accept a church celebrant's marriage certificate.
Well, that's interesting. Great.
Yeah, coming back up to this again, and this might have just been my perception, but I think what we were saying was that really what we're outlining is we believe Christian marriage is, forget the brethren, Christian marriage is, which brings us into line with the wider Christian community. And then if you want to make a final statement at the end and say, Christian brethren put this particular significance to marriage, because in contrast, for instance, to the Catholic Church that says marriage is a sacrament. Well, we don't believe that. Well, what do we believe is the significance of marriage? Possibly it just needs to be a statement there, but that probably is the only distinctive from a straight-out Christian view of marriage. It's not going to be any different from the Baptists or no. Bethel up the street. Or...
We perhaps need to just mark on the bottom here. That's to remind me. We've got that. That was number one, wasn't it? From the back. Let's hear from this group. Ron, you're the speaker. They told me they just all pointed to you.
First of all, we were thinking about the word Christian rights or the rights of our assembly. We thought perhaps it was more on the lines of the authority given to us from our local church, and we are operating on the principles operating within our particular assembly. God is overall in all things, identifying that it is a Christian marriage. We've spoke about that already, so we won't carry on with that. We work to his plan. Number two, the procedure at the ceremony. In other words, the right of our church is we have in our service identifying what marriage is. We have the vows. We have the presentation of rings. We have the pronunciation of husband and wife, the authority invested in us on behalf of the government and our local church to pronounce them husband and wife in the Lord. Then following that, the word of counsel. So basically, I think all of us as married celebrants, that would be an overview of what our service would be. Thirdly, the authority we have from the local assembly. In other words, we have confidence given to us by the elders, and so we should be in close communication with the elders and let them know what we are doing and any procedures that they might want us to adopt within our particular marriage service.
I certainly feel that if you've got a shaky, not a shaky marriage, but if you've got a problem in the people that you're coming that are coming to you in any shape or form, you should have the confidence to go to your local elders and talk it out with them. Talk about it later. Marrying non-Christians to Christians to non-Christians, and what's your responsibility in relation to that? The use of the chapel for a community wedding, those sort of things. Where it's a straight out marriage from Billy to Mary that you've known all their lives and they've been, you know, shown all every Christian growth, then basically I think you just let your elders know that there's a marriage on. But if you've got problems, then you should be referring to your local brethren and putting a bit of pressure on them to take part of the responsibility. Oh, the Hebrews. Righto, David.
The intention was just to follow the format like that. It could be a generic brochure that could just go out across Queensland. And included in that would be a statement of faith or doctrine, a very basic one that didn't have to create too much of a ruckus amongst our brethren churches. Some prerequisites to getting married, e.g. counselling. Those squiggles are not Hebrew, in fact, David, it's just pretend writing. essential features of the ceremony, a formal statement of authority, an ethics statement, and then just a little word on what is marriage from a biblical point of view, and just contained in a nice, neat little brochure that can go out with these ones when the couple come to you.
Right. Sounds pretty good. We now need to appoint a working team to sort that out. All right. Okay. Now, does anybody want to add anything to this at the moment? I mean, we've got some fundamentals there, and maybe the thing is that once we're out now today, we may be able to get half a dozen blokes together and ladies, and we're pleased to see the ladies here today. I haven't really welcomed you especially, but we are so pleased to hear because you form a vital part of the a vital part of the team when it comes. And sure, I believe that as celebrants we need to be seen to be together as husband and wife in this game of promoting marriage in the community. Anybody want to make a quick comment now? You've sort of seen those things. And before we go,
just one comment, David. We spent quite a bit of time working on a combined statement of faith with the CBCCQ.
Yeah.
Perhaps that could be used as a basis to reinvent the wheel.
Absolutely.
And as you say, get some working parties to get the statements together.
Yeah, no, there's no need to reinvent the wheel, I'll tell you that. The minimum amount of work that we can do, the better it will be.
Statement of faith. We only really need a statement of faith as it hinges around the marriage ceremony.
Yeah.
We don't need a complete
statement. The Christian side of things instead of
our understanding of marriage.
Okay. Well, let's break now. Cup of tea and coffee downstairs. Thank you.
I like to play songs that I say the words to myself as the song is going along, and I think it's meaningless. Well, I love music, but it was more meaningful than music when I could think of the words and play songs that people remember. And if you're a gospel music fan, you've heard this song by Doris Akers, and I hope you remember the words well enough for them to bless you as the music goes along. She says in this one, "I just cannot fail the Lord." Thank you.